Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
For those of you that have your Bibles and you don't know where 1 Kings is, it's right before 2 Kings. I think that's going to help you. And we're going to talk just a little bit about start strong, finish stronger. Start strong, finish stronger. That's for those that are sitting here on these first two rows, but that's for everybody sitting on the back row, the balcony, wherever you're at. I want you to get ready for the next season. I want to give you some tools that are going to get you through this season a little quicker and get you to your next season. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. So Elijah went from there, found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him, and Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah, saying, "Let me kiss my father, my mother goodbye, and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him, went back, took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. This is the story of the mantle passing over. This is the story of double portion. Let me say that to these young people on these first two. This is the story of double portion being passed over from a generation that precedes you, that you're going to do greater works, you're going to have greater things, you're going to be stronger, you're going to go further, you're going to stand on our shoulders and do exploits. This is that story. So we're talking about a strong start, but a stronger finish. You may be seated, and as you sit down, turn to your neighbor and tell them, it's all about how you start, and it's all about how you finish. How many of you enjoyed school when you were in school? You enjoyed it. I loved school. The work got in the way, but I loved school. I loved the social aspect of it. I won't do it for time's sake. I can recite every teacher I had. I can tell you the good ones and the bad ones, the strict ones and the easy ones. I can tell you substitutes' names that when they showed up, we knew. We didn't even need to bring our books today. I remember clear things about elementary school and junior high and high school. And I wish that when I was in high school that I knew how good we had it. How many of you can attest to that? We won't ruin it for the seniors that just graduated, but the real world starts quick. And I wish we had known how good we had it, but by the time we found out how good it was, and wasn't is. Can I take you back to 1988? Let's go back to 1988. This was when I had hair on my head and not on my chin. That is 1988, Brandon Fender. That picture, that look on my face right there, that's the look of someone who didn't know anything and was glad that he didn't know anything. And he didn't know that he didn't know anything. The most important decision that that young made every day was whether he was going to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or chicken nuggets. Come to think of it, I still have that choice every day. So that's the look of someone who didn't know. Didn't care that I didn't know. I just got up and isn't that just the picture of innocence? Especially compared to the way I look now. That's just so cute and cuddly. Now let's fast forward 12 years. Let's go to the year 2000. Y'all remember this right here? Y'all don't know about this unless you grew up in the 80s and 90s. Olin Mills. Y'all remember Olin Mills? I don't know why I don't have the fake library shop behind me, but we went with just classic blue here. Okay, so look at this picture over here. That picture on the left is the look of someone who thinks they know everything. The look over here is the realization that high school just ended and I gotta go to college or I gotta get a J-O-B. And the problem with these pictures is they were taken like 15 minutes apart. That's how quick it can change, y'all. I know everything. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Hold on a second. Is mom and dad going to kick me out? Am I going to have to find a place to sleep? It comes quick, y'all. It comes quick. Those next seasons come quick. The older you get, the more the seasons change. And the more the seasons, the repetition of them, it begins to come quicker at us. And so what I want to encourage you with today is how to navigate those seasons of your life, how to start strong, and how to finish stronger. We always talk about it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But can I say that is true to a point, but can I just encourage you that let's be a little more responsible if we could, and let's say it's as important that you start strong. Because if you don't start strong, chances of you finishing strong are probably not there. Because a lot of people, if they were to trip at the starting gate, they wouldn't even run the race. So we need to start strong, and then we need to make it a point in our lives that we are going to finish stronger. And so the 1988 version of Brandon that thought, that didn't know anything, didn't care, he knew anything, was very different than that 12 years later when I thought I knew everything and very quickly found out I didn't know anything. One of my teachers on graduation night, the moment I stepped foot off the platform, clapped me on the back and he said, "Well, congratulations, you just finished the easiest 18 years of your life." Thanks, Teach. Appreciate that. And off we go into the real world. I have, and as a homeschool parent now, Mandy and I have been able to decide what our kids are going to learn and what they're not going to learn, and we've sat down and had serious conversations. What does your future look like? What do you want to do? Because there's some things that if you are going to go down this route that you're going to need to cover, you're going to need to. And so there was a meme going around about things I didn't learn in high school. Can you throw that up for me? I think they have that. They might not have that. If they don't have that, let me just run through these. Things I didn't learn in high school, how to pay my taxes. Things I didn't learn in high school, how to buy a car. Things I didn't learn in high school, what mortgage, what debt, what financing really was. What a credit card could do for me and what it could do to me. I didn't learn any of those things, but I'll tell you what I did learn, the Pythagorean theorem. I learned that, and I've used that a lot in the last 20 years. Not at all. Use all those postulates and theorems that we would be failed if we didn't memorize. And here I am. I haven't drawn a circle in a long time, y'all. I don't really draw a lot of triangles. And so what happens in our lives, and they know this, sitting on the front row and having gone through high school and now college, is there some things that they're just teaching you because they think you should know them. Then there's some things that we need to learn because every one of us is going to go through them. So rather than teach you in circles and tell you things that you might deal with and things that you might not deal with, let's talk about something for the next few moments that every one of us will deal with. Seasonal changes in our lives. Solomon talked about it, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to die, a time to live. A time. He went through all of these things, and what he was saying is that seasons change. And if we know anything here in Texas, is if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes. It's going to change. It's going to rain, then the sun's going to come out. Sometimes it's the sun's out while it's raining. It's a phenomenon. But I want to encourage you, it's not always going to be like it is today. You say, "Pastor Brandon, I'm in the most difficult season of my life. I will pray for you. I will declare the goodness of the Lord, but I will encourage you and tell you it's not always going to be like it is today. God is going to help you navigate to the next. God is going to help you navigate to fulfill His will and His destiny for your life. But I also will be the one to tell you when things are going good, don't get so comfortable that you do not prepare yourself in times of peace for the war that might be brewing and coming to your house in July or August. We got to be ready for the seasonal changes of our life. Many people don't adjust well to changing seasons. I will tell you, I am a creature of habit. Anything that messes up my schedule, anything that goes beyond what is normal to me, it makes me uncomfortable. It frustrates me. But I've learned that nothing greater from God happens in the place of comfort and where I'm at. He always moves me beyond the place where I feel okay, where I have to depend totally on Him. And if I could talk to the high school seniors today, you're getting ready in the next 90 days to step on a university, a college campus, and you're going to have all kinds of opportunities, but you're going to have those times thinking, man, what did I get into? And you're going to go from the face on the left to the face on the right, and you're going to think, man, what did I get myself into? But I'm here to tell you, you've got enough in you. God has put something in you that if you will keep that thing stirred up, and listen, it's harder to keep it stirred up at UT and A&M. It's harder to keep it stirred up when mom's not on you to come to church and to get in your Bible and worship's not playing, and you might not be able to find a church like Living Way for a couple months. It's going to be hard to stir it up, but I'm here to tell you, I've got confidence in the God in you that you've got enough invested in you. If your name made the list today, it means you've been at Living Way long enough to get some preaching, to get some worship, to get some Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday, to make sure that you've got enough to outlast the bad seasons, the uncomfortable seasons, the difficult seasons of your life. To the church in general, I want to encourage you, you've got enough God in you to make it to the next. I quote this scripture almost every time I preach because I quote it every day that I live. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That means the force that is coming out of me is greater than the force that is against me. That means that there is something greater speaking for me than those voices that are speaking against me. So I've learned not maybe to enjoy change, but I endure the change because I know what is on the other side. Most don't like change. So instead of adapting, and when I say adapting, I mean instead of growing, instead of maturing, instead of strengthening, we continue into our next, and we treat it like our last. High school seniors and everybody that's been to college can amen this. It's difficult when your professors don't care if you show up to school or not, because they get paid either way. It's difficult when mom doesn't come in there as your snooze button 10 times a morning to wake you up, to take you to school when you miss the bus. It's difficult that next season of your life, you can't treat college like high school. The first thing you should not do is join a fraternity or a sorority. The first thing you need to do is find out where the library is on campus. The first thing you need to do is identify the partiers and then get away from them and treat them like the exorcist. Why? Because your future's on the line. Well, I'm going to go experiment. You don't need to experiment. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. There is no greater experience outside of the Holy Ghost. There's no reason to go there. And so we cannot replicate what we've done in the next season, what we just came out of. Otherwise, we will duplicate the same season. It's called cyclical living. It's the circle cycle. I was talking to a couple of our alumni that stopped by last night. And I was talking to them about all the things that we do as adults. And I said this, and this is a revelation that's going to change your life. Get ready. Are you ready? Three words. Adulting is hard. I hate paying bills. I hate when I get email reminders that I have bills. I'm an adult. I know I have. I don't need you constantly reminding that 20 days from now I need $226. 10 days from now I need $226. I don't need that. The worst bill I pay is my life insurance because I know I'll never benefit from it. Me, I will never benefit from it. Mandy might. The next guy she's with might. No, I'm not even going to declare that. She's going to remain single for the rest of her life if something happens to me. You've tried the best. Don't go to the rest. Adulting's hard, y'all. It's tough. When I met Mandy, 17 years of age, we got married at 17. She had never made a deposit in the bank, never written a check. Didn't know how to get her money out of the bank. I helped her with that real quick. This is how we get your money out. Adult choices. Let's go beyond college. Let's talk to the people sitting around this room making responsible decisions with our money, making responsible decisions with our marriage, that I'm not going to be around this type of person, that I'm not going to go in this place, I'm not going to sow those kind of seeds into my marriage because I don't want the harvest. Responsibility is tough. It's tough to keep your focus on God sometimes. It's tough when life is throwing curveball after curveball and you're striking out and you're striking out. Sometimes it's tough to get up the next day and say, I'm going to swing again. But I'm going to tell you what, Babe Ruth, keep swinging, because you might have broke the strikeout record, but you also broke the home run record. And no one else has been able to come out to home plate and point to where they're going to hit the ball and hit the ball. I'm talking to some Babe Ruths that 2019 so far, you've been striking out. But instead of looking at all the strikeouts, I want you to talk about, look how good my form is. Look how hard I can swing. When I make contact on the next pitch, it's going to be a grand slam for me, my future, and my family. Adulting might be hard. God never said living for him would be easy, but I'm going to tell you, he did say that all things are possible to those that believe in Jesus Christ. If he did it once, he will do it again. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. I want you to keep swinging. Don't worry about what happens in the middle. You start strong. And when you see that finish line, you get that grit in your teeth, you square your shoulders, and you keep plugging away saying, God, I know my end is going to be greater than my beginning. Here's some things that I want to impart to those of you that are getting ready to cross over into a new season. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do. I love this. Solomon did not write to doctors, lawyers, and people in full-time ministry. He said, whatever you do, put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. Can I tell you what I don't pray for my children? You'll be shocked at this. I don't pray, God, help Tyler to be a great preacher. Help Jaden to be a great prophetess. I say, God, let them grow up to love you. Let them grow up to serve you. Because Mandy and I made a point 15 years ago when we found out we were pregnant with Tyler that we're not going to call our kids into ministry. God's going to call them if that's his plan. At the end of my job as a parent, with them in my house at 18 years of age, I don't know if they're going to be a preacher, a pastor, a prophetess, a praise and worship leader, but I do know this. If they go into the medical field, they're going to be a spirit-filled, Jesus-loving doctor. They're going to be a spirit-filled, Jesus-loving optometrist, lawyer. They're going to go out to Hollywood and make Christian movies that bring millions of people to Jesus and preach to more people at a box office weekend than I ever could on a Sunday morning. That's what I declare over my children. That's what I'm believing over my children, that whatever they do, put it in God's hands. And he will establish your plans. Commit to God. Here it is if you're taking notes. Commit to God. It equals him working out your plan. One translation says this: whatever you commit to God, he will work on. I love that. He will work through. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think I'm supposed to preach on a Sunday morning. That's all right. Preach on a Monday afternoon. Get you your own business where you're going to make $3 million so you can give $300,000 to the church so we can do everything that God has called us to do. And you just keep doing. You say, well, I've got this plan, and I believe it's going to change the world, and I believe it's going to make me a millionaire. That sounds so good, but I'm going to tell you what sounds better. Take that plan and put it in God's hands. When you put it in God's hands, God says, I've been waiting for you to put it in my hands and get your hands off of it so I can work in it. Listen, we got aerospace engineering on the front row today. I'm telling you, that's beyond me. I can't hardly say it. Let me tell you how much Jordan Burton surprised me. I didn't even know you could get a 5.0. If I would have known, Pastor Becky, I would have tried a little harder. I thought 4.0 was where we were pointing. Jordan's a man of God. Jordan's grown up in this church. Jordan's been a blessing to our youth ministry. Jordan is a praiser. Jordan is a worshiper. I've heard Jordan preach before. I've heard Jordan teach before. I've seen Jordan on ESPN. Really, look it up. It's really good. But I'm going to tell you about Jordan. What I love about Jordan is Jordan said, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I can make an impact wherever he places me as long as I commit what I want to do. In his hands. Can I just give you a rundown over Living Way Church? We've raised Super Bowl champions in this church. Priest Holmes, his family's sitting here today. In 2000, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens and went on to break NFL records for touchdowns scored. Grew up right here in this church. Another young man, Brother Julian Peterman, he got a national championship with the University of Texas, Hook 'em Horns. grew right up here in this church. You say, well, don't you wish they were pastors? And don't you wish they are pastors? They are preachers where God has placed them. Don't you know that when somebody puts a microphone up in your face after you won a national championship game and you're like Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow got more people to read John 3:16 when he wrote it under his eye. He got more people to read John 3:16 in one moment than anyone before. And you probably had people saying, well, he shouldn't play football. He should be a pastor. He is a pastor, just on the football field, not in a pulpit. The courtroom can be your pulpit. Graphic design can be your pulpit. Principal can be your pulpit. I loved it, Tacy. You said you're going to do real estate on the side. I want to declare to you that real estate is going to be so lucrative that it's not going to be a side venture. You can own your own company. You can become a millionaire and support anything you want to do and be a principal all at the same time. Anointed vet that give me free vet services. It's all there. Commit it to God. Let God use you. Let God work through you. What I have in my hand, what God has called me to do. So where are you at in your season? You say, well, I'm not in high school. I'm not in college. That's been a long time ago. Where are you at in your walk? Because wherever you're at in your walk, if you'll commit where you're at and what God's called you, if you'll put it in his hands, he said, I'm going to make sure that I work that plan out in your life. Somebody say yes. Here's a good one, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just making some declarations now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper the 2019 graduating class. Not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future or an expected end or a destiny or a target. God's got it in front of you. He said, I'm not a God of harm. That means if it's bad, it's Satan trying to stop God's plan in your life. If it's good, God is doing that to get you to his destiny for your life. Know God's plan, know God's purpose, know God's destination for your life. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he that began a good work in me will carry it out to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I love the last phrase of that. He said, the one that started the work will complete it all the way until Jesus comes back. If my timing is right, Jesus has not come back yet. That means that Jesus is still working on your behalf. Jesus is already in your future. Jesus is already at A&M. He's already at UT. He is already at Prairie View A&M. Wherever you're going, God is already standing there. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to work this thing out just like I said I would. I just need you to put your feet where I've ordered your steps. I love that. I'm confident that the God that's big enough to start it is big enough to finish it. Philippians 1:6, Proverbs 19:20. I love this. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, you'll be counted among the wise. Listen to this. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Understand this, young people, in the first two rows and anyone else that is looking for the next season. God's purpose trumps our plans. God's purpose trumps our plans. If you don't like Trump, God's purpose overrides our plans. I'll fix it for you because some of y'all got lost on Trump and I need to bring you back. God's purpose overrides my plans. I'm going to tell you, at 17, my plan was not what you see today. That was not my plan. I had different plans. I had different aspirations. I had different goals. I had a different mindset. But thank God for summer camp. There's my shameless summer camp plug. Went to camp. God put me on my back like he did Saul. I came up Paul. I answered the call of God in my life. Fast forward just a few months later, met Mandy. We got married a few months later, had Tyler 11 months later, had Jaden 2 years later, and here we are today. And I'm so thankful that I said, God, if you've got a purpose, I'll put my plan aside, and I'll make sure that I'm all about your purpose. Then I love this, and I'm almost done. I love what Bishop says. God will never call you to something that he does not give you a love for. And a lot of times, we don't want to do or get close or hear God out on what he wants us to do because we're scared, because we want to go do this. What if he calls me to do this? If he calls you to do it, he's going to give you a love for it. He's going to give you a love for it. I remember I fought becoming a youth pastor 15 years ago. Now I fought to keep it, to do what God has called me to do. Every day you wake up, whatever season you're in, saying, God, your purpose is greater than any plans I have. Take my schedule, push it to the side. Make sure your will is done and not my will on this earth. Come on now, somebody say amen. So God's purpose overrides our plan. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. The Lord said to him, I'm going to ask Pastor Becky to go ahead and come up. I'm going to go through this real quick. The Lord said to him, go back, talking to Elijah. This is right before he goes to find Elisha. Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus, where when you get there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. I'd never really taken time to read through this. This is what God tells Elijah. I love this. Anoint kings. But make sure that when you're anointing kings and rulers, that you anoint a man of God. You say, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Because there are kings that are in positions today that God has anointed. There are kings and queens that God is elevating. But what stands and sits before us today are men and women of God. And I love the kings and I love authority, but there's something about the people of God that when God unleashes them, and this is what he said, and it shall come to pass that if the enemy escapes the sword of King Hazael, Jehu will slay them. And if they escape Jehu's sword, Elisha, who's not a warrior, who's not a battler, who is not trained in military exercises, he will slay them. Can I just give you 20 seconds right here? That it's important that we have authority, but what kings can't get done, the people of God can. He said, if Hazael doesn't do the job, Jehu will. If Jehu doesn't do the job, the man of God, Elisha, will. Well, Elisha's not a fighter. No, but Elisha's a man of God. A woman of God will do anything that God calls them to do. And I'm here to tell you, there's some important people that have risen to prominence all over our nation and all over the world. But don't ever lose sight that you are 17, 18 years of age. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. Nobody can tell you what you can and can't do. We live in a dispensation where God has given you the power to create the world you want to see and you want to live in. You are an Elisha, and you might have been plowing with the oxen today, but God is getting ready to drape his mantle on you. Give me one more minute. Proverbs 18:16. We've got some gifted people here on the front row. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Young people, people that are in between mountains and seasons that you want to change, your gift makes room for you and puts you in the audience of powerful people. Those are the kings. But your integrity and your character will keep you there. I know many gifted people that have had audience with important people for a short time. Because God said, I'll give you a gift enough to open the door and make a room. But who you are on the inside, who you really are, determines how long you get to stay at the king's table. How long you get to stay in the king's ear. I want to tell you, there's some gifted people on these two rows. We're talking about movie makers and people that are going to go, and just such a vast difference sitting on this two rows. There is gifts, but I'm going to tell you, you are not your gift. You have a gift. And your gift, like Tim Tebow, might be football. Your gift, like Priest Holmes, might be football. But that is not why God put you on this earth. He gave you a gift so that they'd put a microphone in your hand. He gave you a gift so they'd put a camera in your face. He gave you a gift so that thousands of people would line up around a building to hear you speak or to talk to you for a minute. And it's not your gift that is going to change the world. You and the gift inside of you, which is Jesus Christ, is what's going to change the world. I tell my kids all the time, reputation is what people think you are. Integrity and character is what God knows you are. Can't hide from God. Bad seasons, long seasons, dry seasons of your life show the real you. Show your real faith. Show your real, do you really know how to pray? Do you really know how to worship? Stand on your feet. Elisha has a gift. didn't even get a chance to get to it. Elijah's just out there. Elisha's just out there plowing. Elisha knows that there's something different about him. Just like these people on the front two rows or around this building today, you know that you're greater than the level you're operating at. David knew, I'm anointed to be king, and here I am on the backside of nowhere. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll be faithful in this season of your life, God is going to usher you to the next season. Elisha, you're going to have a double portion anointing. You keep plowing with the ox. The anointing doesn't fall on lazy people. It falls on people that are working. If I can encourage these young people on the front two rows, if God has blessed you with tuition, praise God. If you've got grants, praise God. If not, work a job. Nothing wrong with it. Work diligently wherever God opens the door, because I promise you, God's anointing is looking for people that are busy. Busy in the things of God, the kingdom of God, but busy on this earth, making sure that we're not idle, but we're moving forward. And you're going to be doing something at McDonald's, Burger King, Walmart, and suddenly, boom, the mantle's going to fall on you, and God's going to say, you're too valuable to keep right here. I'm going to usher you into the next season of your life. God establishes Elisha as a leader in verse 18. He says, I got 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed a knee to Baal, who have not kiss the idol. Your leaders on this front row, this second row, your leaders. He said, man, I'm going to be a little fish in a big pond. Age has nothing to do with it. Newness has nothing to do with it. Experience has nothing to do with it. Let God use you. He finds Elisha plowing, throws the mantle, keeps walking. Elisha says, let me go and tell my mom and dad goodbye. I don't say this to be funny, but the season you're getting ready to enter is one of newness, because mom and dad are with you every step of the way. This is a chance for your faith to flourish, for your faith to grow. What's been put on the inside of you to showcase what God started in you. I want to encourage you, don't waste those opportunities. Be an Elisha and say, God, I'll plow until, but when the glory hits, I'm going to burn the plow. I didn't get a chance to talk about it. He made a forever decision. Before you leave to college, make a forever decision. Before you start your business, make a forever decision. Doesn't matter what season I'm in, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to look to Jesus. I know I preach to them, but I preach to everybody in the house today. Seasons change. And for us, we need to change with the seasons. We need to become more purposeful in who we are and what we do. Too many people going into their next just like their last. How you start one season is how you finish the last, but there should be growth and maturity in that. If you're ready to step out of where you're at right now and move forward to the next season, if you're tired of being tired, if you're sick of being sick, I need you to leave your seat. I need you to join me right now and say, Pastor Brandon, if you only knew.